Go ahead, I'll be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Before I get started, we need to update the directory. And I'm going to start one going on this side. I'm going to start another one going on this side. If your information has not changed, this is not the time to be looking at people's faces. Just pass it along. Amen. And if your picture is missing, please, in the next several weeks, in the next 3 weeks actually, both on Thursday night and on Sunday, you need to go see Andreas. He'll be in the lobby. Andreas, could you stand up? Is that handsome brother? And he'll take your picture. Or if you want to update your photograph that's in here, you know, go to him and he can do that. But if your picture is missing, I need you to go take that picture and update your information on here. Also, please, this directory is for our benefit. Okay? What do I mean by that? So somebody calls you. Oh, do you have so-and-so's number? Could you send that to me? Don't do that. If anything, get that person's information, call that brother and sister, and say, so-and-so is trying to get a hold of you. Could you call them on this number? Okay? Amen? I'm also in this book. Please do not give my number out. All right? Amen? I'm not giving your number out. So don't give mine out either. Amen. So we start over here. So if nothing has changed, just move it along. Amen? I bring you greetings from the church in Greenville, South Carolina. Scott and Teresa Kirkpatrick, they're doing awesome. They send their love. And it was great being there and seeing their church and just being there. Harold and I drove up Sunday morning. He did the communion and I did the main message. And then afterwards, they asked me to do a class for their Bible Talk leaders, which I was very happy to do. And but they're doing great. They send their love. Their kids have really grown. You know, they got three girls. Man, if you see them, you won't recognize them. Like, whoa, what happened? But they're doing very well. And we had a great time being over there. Since July 15 of 2012, in our church, we baptized and restored 16 people. And I praise God for that. Amen. Our goal, like we've been talking about, is to baptize and restore 48 people by July 15th of this year. Okay? And I hope and pray that as a member of this church, that is something that you pray about on a daily basis. Because I believe it is the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's not your power, it's not my power. And this got to be something that we're praying about on a daily basis. But that's what I want us to talk about tonight. In terms of being workers in God's vineyard. That's the title of my lesson. Workers in the vineyard. This message is probably going to challenge you tonight and convict you. But I hope that, honestly, every single one of us in here, by the time we're done tonight, we will decide to be workers in God's vineyard. Can I get an amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 20. Workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and then sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burn of the work and the heat of the day. But the landowner answered them, friend, I've not been unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the passage, this is a parable that we're very, very familiar with. It's one of those parables where you're not sitting there trying to figure out now who's what and what am I supposed to be doing. I mean, it's very straightforward. Okay, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. There's nothing here to exegete. There's nothing in here to explain. There are no complicated words or theology. I mean, it's just one of those kind of parables. Very, very straightforward. It is not complicated to understand. Obviously, it is a parable about God's sovereignty and about God's grace. All right? And we've talked about that before in the past, using this passage. In the sense that, you know, at the end there, where those who had worked all day long got the same amount as those guys who worked for just 1 hour. And it's no wonder that the guys who had been around all day doing the work, they were complaining, like, wait a second, this is not fair. You're paying them the same amount, and we arrived here early in the morning. And so, yes, I do understand that this passage is talking about the grace of God. And we're going to talk about it a little bit towards the end. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. Because it talks about how the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Who's the landowner? God. Give yourself a round of applause. Who are the workers?
We are.
We are. You. Me. We are the workers. He says the landowner went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. That's what the Bible says. Okay? We're part of the kingdom of God. He says, like, you know, God says, you know, he went out early in the morning. We don't know what time. You know, Jews, they count their time. The first hour is 6 a.m. in the morning. So when you see the third hour, that's 9 in the morning. Sixth hour, noon. You know the math. I'm not speaking Greek. Okay? You know that by now, right? I've said that a few times. But notice, the landowner went out early in the morning. The Bible says to hire men to work. Hold your place, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Because we need to establish something else in here. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, a passage that is not new to us, beginning in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen? This passage again reminds us that you and I are saved by grace. Are you with me? We didn't do anything to deserve to be saved, to deserve to come into the kingdom of God. It was a gift that God freely gave to us and poured out on us. And he says, as a result of that, he seated us up in the heavenly realms with Jesus. Amen? We have a different vantage point now, where everything you and I do and everything we are about, we need to look at it in light of eternity. Are you with me? And then he goes on to say, you know what? We're saved by grace, not by works. That we are God's workmanship. It's like God is still working on us. We're a work in progress. Created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And you and I, because we have jobs, we understand the concept of work. Okay? Tomorrow is Friday. I remember many years ago when I first came to this country, and I saw the expression TGIF. And, you know, I would see it in the bulletin, in the school bulletin that came out, you know, at the weekend. And one day I finally asked him, I said, what is this TGIF? And the guy looked at me like, where are you from? Obviously, I wasn't from America. I don't know what that means. Oh, he said it means, thank God it's Friday. Oh, I said, oh, that's what that means. That's so cool. We all look forward to Friday. You know, I don't know how it is where, at your place of work, when the clock hits five, man, you are out the door, baby. It's like, thank God for the weekend. And then when the alarm goes up on Monday morning, you're like, man, I can't believe it's over already. Well, we love our Fridays. But I say that to say, you know what? Even tomorrow, you have work to do. That you're going to have to get done so that it's not sitting on your table till Monday. But I promise you something. If you don't do that work, guess what? Next week when you show up, it's going to be waiting for you. So we understand the concept of work. All right? Now go back to Matthew 20. You see, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, why did God save us? Why did God save me? Why did God save you? He saved us to walk in his vineyard. Amen? I got no problem with work. You have no problem with work either. But the question is, do we have a problem with working in the kingdom of God? You know, notice the landowner, obviously God. He came out early in the morning to hire men to walk in his vineyard. That was his primary purpose and intent. The reason Jesus came was to seek and to save the lost. The reason God reached out to you and me was so that we can help other people get saved. That's all God had in mind. Are you with me? That was his primary purpose and intent. So the question needs to be asked, what were you and I doing prior to that? The way he describes it in this passage is like you and I were just standing around doing absolutely nothing. I don't know about you. That's very convicting. I mean, I was busy doing something, but God says you were doing nothing. Totally useless. Totally pointless. Whatever it is you and I were doing or involved with because we became Christians. God says you were doing nothing. You were just standing around just whiling away the time. I don't know about you. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I've driven by farms. I know people that grew up on a farm and I've spoken to people that have done farm work. It is hard, tough, back-breaking work. There's no other way to say it. It is hard work. When you're out there, whatever it is you're picking, whether you're picking grapes, whether you're, you know, you're harvesting potatoes, whether you're picking oranges, it is hard work. And that's what it compares it to. It doesn't say the kingdom of God is like somebody in a room sweeping the floor. That I can handle. It doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a guy in the kitchen cooking. Cooking you and I can do. I'm not saying cooking is not hard work. Don't get me wrong. But compared to walking out in the fields, there's a big difference. It doesn't say the kingdom of God is like a person walking in a laundromat and washing clothes. Back then, they didn't have any laundromat. You want to wash your clothes, you go by the river. Okay? There's still a lot of places on earth. That's the way they wash their clothes. You take them all down to the river. You slam them on the ground. You put the soap. You keep doing it. And you rinse the clothes and then you go hang them up. None of these washer dryer stuff. Again, I remember the first time I saw a washer. I was like, what in the world is that? It's like, you're going to put clothes in there. You're going to put soap in. It's going to be rolling around. It's going to be clean. Like, right. I didn't believe it until they sort of did this stuff. I was like, oh, wow, it's actually clean. But compared to washing clothes with your hand, washing with your hand is actually, it gets it cleaner than with a washing machine. Okay? That's a freebie. But the point is, walking out in the field is tough, hard-breaking work. Amen? Now, notice, when God went out to hire these guys, he agreed to pay them a fixed wage. Even God understands that we're not going to work for free. Okay? You have a job right now. I'm not talking of your volunteer position. You're working because today is the what? The 21st, in a few days, you're going to get paid. You like February because it's got shorter days. None of us have to remind her when payday is. Okay? You know the payday. Come on, man. Don't be sitting there like you don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you in here like, you know, the 6th or 7th? I got paid 2 weeks ago? No! Man, you know exactly when that money gets deposited. Or when you need to go pick up that check. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? Praise God for direct deposit. America is way ahead, man. I'm telling you. All these things that we take for granted in this country, it's amazing. All of a sudden, you know, you get that direct deposit, the thing just shows into your bank account. I mean, it's like, goodness, man. Back in the day, you had to go get a check. And then you go to the bank or cash it. God help you. Somebody can rob you on the way to the bank or come from the bank. Now we don't have that anymore. But the point is, we understand, you know, we like to get paid. God understands that. And he agreed to pay these guys. I mean, think about it. On your job, you're getting paid. You probably have some benefits. Benefits. You get some vacation time. Okay? But you got a pay package. You know what I'm talking about. You know, one of the companies that people want to work for in America is Google. Okay? A lot of us use Google as a search engine. And they're out in Santa Barbara, California. And people want to work there. You know, people say, oh, you know, unemployment is at whatever it is, percent. Let me tell you something. Out in Silicon Valley, they can't keep up. There's work. If you study computers and stuff like that. There's over 3 million jobs that they can't fill. But anyway, people want to get into Google because, first of all, they love the campus. It's spread out. And you get all these bikes that you get to ride for free to get to places. And I'm told there's a gym. There are two small swimming pools. There are laundry rooms. Laundry rooms. There's a bowling alley. Get this. 18 cafeterias that serve all kinds of menus. And it's all free. That's part of the benefits. Now you can understand why everybody's trying to get in there. I mean, there's actually a YouTube video you can watch on YouTube about the, it's called the Googleplex. Go watch it sometime. Maybe it will inspire you to go study computer science. You know, Stephen Roga is not going to have a hard time getting a job when he gets out of Georgia Tech. I can tell you that right now. But the point is, everybody wants to work for Google. You should see some of these guys. You know, they don't do this casual Fridays. Every day is a casual day. Then their shorts, then their flip-flops, their backpacks. I mean, these guys are enjoying life. It's not a, quote-unquote, like a conventional office. People want to work there because of the benefits and the wages that they're getting. Are you with me? I believe we got greater benefits in the kingdom of God than even what Google has to offer. Because, like I talked about a few weeks ago, what God has offered us is priceless. You can't put money on this stuff. Amen? Now notice, the landowner is not idle himself. He goes out early in the morning. He goes out at 9 a.m. He goes out at noon. He goes out at 3. And he goes out around 5 p.m. to hire more people. So it's not as if God is like, just sit there, just, okay guys, you guys, that are my kids, be working. And I'm just sitting here, whatever. No. God is also at work. Are you with me? I mean, you and I are praying every day about different things. There's situations that we want God to intervene. What do you think he's doing? As those prayers are getting answered, he's working. Can you imagine if God went on strike? I mean, think about that for a second. If God were to just decide, you know what, for the next week, I'm going to do nothing in the universe will collapse. You and I are done. It's over. You know, that road accident God just prevented you from heading into. Boom! It's coming. You know, that guy at work who was giving you a hard time, who just, you know, called you a name and walked away, he would have punched you. God prevented that from happening. But I bring that up to say, God himself is working. So he's not sitting idly by. Notice in the story, the landowner kept on looking for more workers. You know, people often ask me, what's the biggest need in the church? And the answer is the same. Whatever city you go to, whatever church you're a part of, whatever continent you may be on, we need more workers. The answer is always the same. The problem we have here, every church has got it. And I'm talking about where all of us become workers so that it's not just a certain percentage of the church that's doing the work. And the question you got to ask yourself tonight as I'm going through this passage is, are you a worker in the kingdom of God? Or do you just come to church? And there's so many areas, obviously, in which we can serve. What I see, kids' kingdom, whether it's in ushering, whether it's singing, whatever it is. And you say, well, my thing is singing, and so don't ask me to do anything else. Well, we need you to do about two or three things. What if I said to you guys, okay, all I'm going to do is preach, and I'm not doing anything else. Don't ask me to sing. Don't ask me to get with people. Don't ask me to go visit the sick. Don't ask me to do anything else. I'm just going to show up and preach. You're going to say, hey, that ain't working. Okay? When I was hired, they had a list of stuff in terms of my role and responsibilities. I still have it on file. And I can promise you, there's a lot I do that is not on that list. And nobody asked me, oh, by the way, bro, we need to add this to your responsibility. You just, well, we need to do this. That's what you go do. Does that make sense? Yeah. As workers in the kingdom of God, you know, a lot of us are going to be doing two, three, four, five things. That's just the way it is till the day we die. And so what happens is, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, guess what? Somebody else has to pick up the slack. Amen? So, your inactivity, my inactivity, affects everybody else. It really does. Amen? But the landowner is going out, and he's calling people to come in and be workers. Again, notice something else. Every time the landowner goes out, he grabs everybody that's just standing around. He's not saying, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, go into my vineyard. And then he comes back a few hours later. He grabs everybody that's idle. That's what the story tells us. Amen? And he expected them to go into his vineyard and to get to work. I got no problems with that. God didn't save you and me so that we can just go to church. God didn't save us so that we can just, you know, sing some hymns and, oh, hi, bro, it's so good to see. That's not it. God saved us to work. Amen? The question is, are you a worker? Am I a worker? Guess what? There's always work to be done. Always. And we have great workers in this church. You know, every time we come in, you know, we got the screen going on, the sound going on. You know, somebody came and opened up this place. Some people are going to, you know, stay behind. And at a certain point, tell you guys, you need to go home. Okay? And turn the lights off. But somebody's got to do that. As you and I are in here right now, some people are back there teaching our kids. I know some of you just came out of that. The point I'm making is all the work you're doing, God sees it. And all the work you are not doing, God also sees. Amen? You say, oh, Richard, but I'm tired. Welcome to the club. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us what we're going to be doing for the rest of eternity. If you want to, when you leave this place, when you leave this earth, when I leave, if you want to sleep for 1,000 years, I don't know, you probably get a chance to do it. But while we're still here, we're working. Because we're not going to be able to save souls in heaven. Are you with me? That's why this is hard work. You know, people, sometimes they'll come and ask me, you know, hey, bro, we're never going to go out and plant a church and this. It's like, we're not planting a church. Because we're not going to go start a church in some city when we don't have any workers. What do you think a church planting is? It's about a group of about 12 to 20 people who are going to move to a certain area with their families, and all they're going to be doing for years is inviting people to church and studying the Bible with them. That's it. And if you're not doing it where you are, I promise you, when you get to Timbuktu, you are not going to do it. And that's why you will find a lot of people that are asked to be on mission teams are people that are very self-motivated. That is not, you know, people that, you know, they're asking, so, bro, how you doing? You know, how's it going? It's like, there's no time for that. Every day you're out, just reaching out to people, smiling. Hey, how you doing, man? My name is so-and-so. And just reaching out to people. Hey, we have this Bible discussion over here. Or we have this church service over here. Man, I'd love for you to come. As my father, what are you doing right now? You got a minute? Let me show you something. And you open up the Bible. That's all you're doing. Amen? But guess what? We don't have to wait to go to Columbus, Georgia or Valdosta, Georgia to start doing that. We start right here. And believe me, when you're doing it right here, you won't have to volunteer. I promise you, I will come tap your shoulder and say, bro, sister, I need you to move to Valdosta. I want you to be a part of this mission team. We got work to do. Because you're doing it over here. I'm making a difference in people's lives. And it guarantees someone like me, as an evangelist, that's part of my job, is to know that when you get over there with that team, you're going to flat glorify God and be a worker. Amen? Amen, church? It's really not complicated. There's work to be done. Now let me ask you this. How do you think other workers feel when you are not involved with the work? Yeah, we're Christians. But I believe there's resentment. What's his heading? He's always coming in late. He's not really doing anything. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? I mean, if in the church we ask, okay, bro, we need somebody to, you know, pick up all the trash, whatever, every hand should go up. Better yet, where we don't even have to make the announcement, you see a need and just go do it. And your father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you, the Bible says. And again, please don't do it so that somebody can pat you on the back. If you're doing it so that you can be seen, you've already received your reward. But all these things are in the scriptures for a reason. You know, it's amazing to me. It's kind of funny. Notice when this parable was told by Jesus, it was right after Peter said, hey, Lord, hey, hang on. We left everything to follow you. What's in it for us? Let me tell you a story. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out to hire men to work in his vineyard. Right after Peter brought up and expressed those sentiments. That's what the Lord did. Amen? God said, Peter, get to work. Prior to that, obviously, the rich young ruler just walked away sad because he wouldn't go sell everything he had and come follow Jesus. We talked about that a few weeks ago also. But that's exactly what was going on when Jesus told his parable. We're going to continue to work. Now, the truth is, again, God in his own wisdom, he knows what he's doing. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, okay, I became a Christian when I was 24 years old. 24. And now I'm 50. I don't know the day the Lord is going to say, Richard, your work is done. It's time to come on home. But I know that day is coming. I'm one day closer right now than I was this time last night. You're one day closer to an eternity with God than you were this time last week. That applies to every single one of us. Okay? Just remember that. Every day you wake up, I'm one day closer to seeing God. That's just the way my mind works. One of my oldest daughter was converted when she was 15. Now, if I died today at 50, that means I would have been in the kingdom of God, being a worker for about close to 27 years. Okay? I'll be 27 years a Christian June 1st of this year. If my daughter dies at 50, she would have served the Lord, you do the math, 9 more years. And so our service in God's kingdom is not going to be equal. It never was. God never promised that. You know, Damien Jean-Baptiste is gone on to his eternity with the Lord. He died at 48. There are days I wake up, and I gotta be honest with you, I envy Damien. Like, man. Lord, where are you gonna take me? I'm ready to go, man. There's a lot of problems in this world. I do get tired. Like, man, this place is a mess. And I realized, you know, the reason I'm still here is because there's work to be done. And when my work is done, God is going to take me. When your work is done, God is going to take you. So be about it. Because you are not leaving this place until you've done the work that God put you on this earth to do. You can take that one to the bank. You are delaying your own departure. If you're just sitting around doing nothing. Now look in Matthew 24. Let me show you something. Because again, God has saved us for a reason. Again, remember, most of what's written in the scriptures was written to Christians. When Jesus is talking in Matthew 24, he's addressing Christians. But I love this passage in Matthew 24, beginning verse 45. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And on an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him down to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, he's talking to disciples. I don't know about you. This is very scary to me. I don't want God to cut me off. Are you kidding? With the mess in this world, and then I die and I don't go to an eternity with God, then my life would have been a total waste. Are you kidding? Yes, it's hard work. But we gotta do it with wholehearted devotion. And then, not only do we get an incredible reward here, our eternal reward is just gonna be mind-boggling. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's gonna be great. My father was converted when he was 70 years old. 70. He died a day shy of exactly 4 years as a Christian. He died at 74. I remember him passing one day. I was just thinking about him and I said, man, lucky son of a gun. 4 years, man. That's all he did. 4 years. I'm not that lucky. You are not that lucky. Again, I don't know how much time I got. I don't know how much time you got. But it's not going to be equal. But the thing is, whatever happens, we can't grumble. I mean, think about this. I think I said this before, but I'll say it again. Can you imagine getting to the other side and you meet Peter or Paul or Moses or Abraham? Or the thief on the cross that got in the last minute. I want to talk to him. Bible does tell us, but I want to say, hey, who's the guy? Where's the thief on the cross? I'm going to say, brother, you are lucky. The last person Jesus saved. And then here I am. I show up from the 21st century. I say, yeah, I'm glad to be here, Peter. So what did you do? Well, you know, I was back there in Atlanta and, you know, we'd have church and I get in my car, go to church, and then we'd go back home and, you know, we had all this audiovisual stuff and, you know, you could call people up, you get on a plane and you're on a different continent in a few hours. Can you imagine Peter going to the Lord and say, Lord, This is not fair. You gave all these guys all these conveniences? You know, you could have given us at least a donkey. I know what the answer is going to be. Hey, Peter, I'm not being unfair to you. Does that make sense? And again, I bring that up because we're going to serve God in his kingdom over different periods of time. And you cannot grumble and be envious about what God is doing in that brother's life or in that sister's life. I believe without a doubt, as Scripture teaches, you and I were put on this earth for a reason. God created you. Like I talked about last week, you matter. And God has blessed you with certain abilities and certain talents that other people around you may not have. And the key is, you got to use your talents as you do God's work. Because when you and I stand before Him, He's not going to hold you responsible for the talent He gave somebody else. Are you with me? You're going to have to give an account of your own life. God is going to say, I gave you 2 talents, or I gave you 5 talents. What did you do with it? Did you multiply it? You know the parable I'm talking about. If you show up and say, well, Lord, I know you're a wicked boss, and here's what belongs to you. I went and buried it. God is going to look at you and say, you wicked and lazy servant. Take that thing from that joker. Give it to that guy. Who's got 10? Take him and throw him outside. That is the Bible, people. That is the Scriptures. It's scary. And you will be weeping, you will be gnashing your teeth, and God will not change His mind. Amen? It's about you and I being workers. Okay? I want to encourage you tonight to get involved in a Bible study. I want every single member of this church involved in a Bible study. Say, Richard, is that a Bible study with myself? No. That's called your quiet time. I'm being very clear. Okay? When I say Bible study, I'm talking with somebody who is not a Christian. Amen? You and I have been called to go save souls. We got to be about the business. Get involved in a Bible study. You say, well, I got nobody right now. Okay, good. It's okay. You can change that in the next 2 weeks. Go around your neighborhood. You don't know everybody in your neighborhood. You don't know everybody in your subdivision. Go knock on the door and introduce yourself. Bang, dong, dang, dong. Yeah, that's the way it sounds. Press the doorbell. Big smile on your face. How you doing? My name is Richard. I'm from down the road. I'm one of your neighbors. What's your name? I'm just going to run meet my neighbors. Can I come in? What's he going to say? He's going to say, come on in. Okay. Oh, I see some of you shaking your head. Oh, you of little faith. There's no way you're going to go and press on 5 doorbells and all of them will tell you, please, whatever. We're in the South, man. People are still nice and hospitable. Okay? Invite them over to your house. If you see somebody in the grocery store, say hello. Amen? Nice sneakers. How you doing? My name is Richard. Open your mouth. You got the invitations. Invite somebody to church. Invite somebody into your home. It's not that complicated. I know we're out of practice, a lot of us, but we got to get back into practice. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to be talking about this. I'm going to be asking you. I want you to ask me. Richard, how's it going? Because I'm going to ask you. How's it going? Get in there. Open up the Bible with somebody. Carry your Bible to work. Some people will see you reading and say, what are you reading? I'm glad you asked. Let me talk to you. Look at Jesus. Does that thing work? Oh, yes, it does. I've been living this life for the last 10 years. Have a seat. Let me show you something. Open up the Scriptures. Don't leave the Bible in the car. Now, please don't get me. Please don't be reading the Bible when you're supposed to be doing your work. I'm talking of during your lunch hour. So when Richard told me to take my Bible into work. I'm talking of pull it out in your lunch hour. Okay? Amen? You go into the cafeteria, if you have one, you know, open that thing up. Go, don't go sit on the table alone. Go find somebody who's sitting by the side. Mind if I sit down? What are they going to say? Have a seat. Pull your Bible out. Chances are they're going to ask you, what exactly is this thing you're reading? You really believe that stuff? There's your opening. Yes, I do. God is real. He exists. He loves us. That's why he came in. He sent his son to this world to die for you and me. And 100 years from now, you are not going to be here. I will not be here. As a matter of fact, that's another great line that I like to use. I ask people, I say, hey, I got a question for you. So what is that? I said, where are you going to be 100 years from now? And they pause. Well, I guess I don't know. Well, you need to know. You are going to be one of two places. Either with God or away from God. Can we talk? God has sent me to you. It's not that complicated. But we got to open our mouths. Amen, church? But pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you to people that are searching for God. He will. He always does. He always does. Went out the other night with my wife and Ronald Lavanya Drebo, who lives in the church in Charlotte. They were in town, so they called and said, let's have dinner. So we're out, we're talking, we're having dinner. And this very nice girl, you know, came and took care of us and everything. And so at the end, you know, obviously we're talking to her, we're inviting her to church, and I said, what do you do? And all that. She says, well, you know, I want to get back into school and this and this and this and this and this and this. And so I said, where are you going to go to school? She goes, I'm thinking of going to GGC. I said, you got to come to church. I know some kids from GGC. I pray she shows up. I can't wait to introduce her to our Christians at GGC. Amen? I've already started praying. I've put her name before God. Because my first question was, do you work on Sundays? She goes, not really. I said, good. You need to come to church. I said, where's your church? I pulled out the invitation. She didn't bite me. She didn't bite. You can't bite me. People say I'm intimidating. I don't think so. I'm a really nice guy. I don't know why you guys are laughing. Now, when I'm behind the pulpit and I'm preaching God's word, I got something to say. And I'm going to say it. And I'm coming right down the middle. With my fastball. There's no ifs or buts or whatever. I'm not going to say peace, peace, where there's no peace. But once I'm done, I'm a nice guy. Talk to all the people that have been to my house. Okay? But let's be workers in God's kingdom. I want to ask, in closing, I want all those who have been baptized and restored in the last 12 months to go ahead and stand up wherever it is you are. I know some of them are walking, but go ahead and stand up if you've been baptized or restored in the last 12 months. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Stand up. Thank you. Somebody reached out to these guys. Believe me, they didn't just wake up and go, oh, I need to get saved. I need to go down to the theater or some school down. No. It didn't happen that way. I promise you. Somebody opened up their mouth and started talking to them. And here they are. And my prayer is that, you know, by July 15th, by this time next year, I mean, the amount of people that would stand up in this room, because you and I decided to become workers in God's kingdom. Amen? That's what we're after. That's what we're going for. So church, let's be about the Lord's business. Amen?